Luke chapter 21, verses 25 to 33. We're going to read 25 to 28. We'll cover a lot of this chapter tonight, but Luke chapter 21. I'll start reading in verse 25, and then you start with me in verse 26. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And he spake to them a parable. Behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. And then I'll end here with verse 31. So likewise, ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. And let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for your perfect and pure word, Lord. Help us, please. Bless your word to our hearts. Thank you for telling us what to do and not leaving us to ourselves. Lord, we want the sound mind that you made available to us when you saved us. We don't want to be controlled by fear. So help us to live with eternity in view. Please, for your honor and glory, in Jesus' name, amen. I covered Luke 21 in a prophecy series about 3 months ago, and we went through this. I wanted to reteach it in a different way, not because I think I missed the encouragement that we're supposed to pull from it. And I know in the day, you know, we were talking with some people yesterday that were at our house for lunch, and I like what one of the people said. They're in their 70s. He said, I might watch 10 minutes of news a week. He said, that's about all I can handle. I said, you know, that sounds pretty good. I think that's why he can smile and he wasn't depressed. So in this passage, let's dive in it's blessed my heart and I want it to, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 things in this passage that I think if you look at it, you can, it'll encourage you. As Jesus teaches us, he says that these things here in this chapter, things are going to continually get worse before he comes and makes everything right. But there's so many points of encouragement for the born-again believer. For instance, if I tell you things are going to get worse before they get better, that's concerning the world, that's not you. Right? Doesn't it say in Daniel 11:32, and they that know their God shall be strong and do exploits? That tells me, yes, the world is going to get worse. The violence is going to increase. The sorrow pains, they're going to increase. But when I read Daniel 11:32, okay, as things are getting worse, an encouragement could be this. Then while they're going nuts, what does God want to use you to do? What is God showing you in this time? I like what one person said. I think the greatest sermon still has yet to be preached. I think the greatest song still has yet to be written. It's just if God's people will not get wrapped up in what's going on and they'll keep their mind on the Lord and keep walking with God, yes, it's going to get crazier. But not for you as your walk with God. If anything, God promises strength. Amen? So I do believe that. Things are going to get worse before they get better till Jesus comes, but it should not be the other side of it needs to be told. Verse 31, Jesus said here, likewise ye, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know that the kingdom of God is at hand. So Jesus uses this passage to tell the disciples, when you start seeing these things, I'm getting ready to come. I want to stay in this passage, but there's many places in the New Testament where we're told what to do while we watch things take place that we can't stop and have nothing to do with. I know I just said a mouthful. But when the world is losing it, God tells us what to do. We're not. I got to admit, I've never seen a mayor or a governor of a state stand against federal help that was coming to maintain order in their state. I've never seen that before. To me, only a communist would do that. If the president's sending help to Portland, why would anybody oppose that? And the federal officer said, look, this isn't the, we do this at every federal building in every state. This is not, our job is to protect the federal buildings. They said, we do this all year long. We don't wait in Washington and then get sent out. They said, we do this job year round. But the way you watch the media, they're making it sound like Trump's a dictator and sending in Gestapo forces and all this other garbage. It's goofy to me. I've never seen that, but, okay. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, we're going to look at that tonight, and chapter 4. Let's stay in this passage here. Let's back up a few more verses and notice what Jesus told us to do in the midst of the chaos. You're in chapter 21, go back to verse 14 and watch. Jesus said, when persecution breaks out, notice his instructions. Now, he says here in verse 14, settle therefore in your hearts not to meditate before what ye shall answer. Oh my goodness, what are we going to do if they... Jesus said, don't quit worrying about it. Enjoy church while we have it. Amen? Well, what are we going to do if they say, and what are we going to do? Don't meditate beforehand. When that time comes, he said he'll give us what to say. Look at verse number 15. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. I don't have anything to worry about right now. Amen? Look at verse 16. And ye shall be betrayed, both by parents and brethren and kinsfolks and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but there shall not a hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls. So verse 19 is what I want to draw your attention to. Jesus said, when persecution breaks out, it would help if you would realize, and I'm not making light of things, but the worst they can do is kill you. I'm not looking forward to it, okay? But Jesus said, not a hair of your head shall perish, and he tells you not a hair in your head will perish. After he tells you some of you are going to be put to death, but neither a hair, no hair on your head is going to... Well, what's that mean? You just said we're going to be put to death. He said, don't fear those that can kill the body. The only thing they can do is kill your body. They can't take your soul. We only have a short time on this earth anyways. And then he said, when you're thinking about the persecution, now I realize the past 2,000 years has periods of butchery and 80 million Christians burned at the stake and murdered and tortured. Okay, that was before 1900. You realize since the start of communism has killed more Christians than the Dark Ages. In the past 100 years, more people have died because of communism than the Catholic Church killed in 1,500 years. You do understand that, right? So we're living in times of one of the missionaries, the Herbalies, or not the Herbalies. Who's in Russia? The who? The Holbrits, yes. Brother Oswardy got kicked out of Russia because they're kicking out the Jehovah's Witnesses and they're telling the Christian missionaries to lead. Our missionary hasn't been asked yet, but Brother Oswardy, who got kicked out of Russia, has said it's coming. Russia is getting more and more aggressive against missionaries. Okay? So he knows he's over there. He's He's reaching people while he can. They're sweet people. I like reading their letters, but I'm just telling you, the persecution is building in some areas. Jesus said here, when you see persecution, notice verse 19. This should encourage you. What should we do? In your patience, possess ye your souls. In your patience, the word possess, okay? Well, I'll tell you that here in just a second. We have watched our evolutionized humanistic society become less and less tolerant of any form of Christianity for the past 40 years. A Christian can no longer publish a book on creation. The only books that are allowed to be published now are books on evolution. If you want to publish a book on creation, you have to pay for it and do it yourself. No publishing company will do it. If you've not seen the video Silencing of Christians, okay, it's pretty interesting. But the only thing that they're allowing in the public is teaching on evolution, that we come from monkeys. Okay? This has been building. We've been watching this escalate, and it's getting more and more. Now, this past couple of weeks, we've watched mobs tear down religious statues. I'm not for statues of any kind, neither is God, but the whole idea shows the mentality of the public. Okay? So if a church wants to have a statue of whatever and they want to worship an idol, I don't think they're tearing it down to say their hatred for God. Okay? So it's their display. So we're watching things. Jesus said, when you see violence displayed against Christianity, in your patience possess ye your souls. What does that mean? That means, the word possess means to hold, occupy, seize, and take. What are you supposed to do? Seize, take, and hold on to your soul. In other words, I'm going to rephrase this statement. Don't let the times shape and control who you are. Possess your souls and stay yielded to the Holy Spirit. Possess ye your souls in your patience. And Jesus gave us a beautiful, perfect example of this. What does it mean to possess your soul? Take your Bible and go to John chapter 13, and let's watch our Savior give us the model of how to possess your soul in patience. In patience. John chapter 13, look at verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, I just love this phrase, he loved them unto the end. Now you think about that just for a second when the pressure was greatest on him. It's about 9 o'clock at night, and he knows within 12 hours, at 9 the next morning, nails are going to be driven into his hands. He knows he's God. He knows what he's getting ready to face. And when he's under this pressure, he still loved them unto the end. His love was perfect when he was under the greatest amount of pressure. We know in just a little bit, in 3 more hours, when he's praying, he's going to have sweat drops of blood come out of his pores. His blood vessels are going to break under his skin. And in just a little bit, nobody's going to hit him, but he's going to be covered in his own blood. Just from the stress of praying, Father, let this cup pass from me. So that little phrase, he loved them unto the end. Well, look at verse 2. And supper being ended, watch, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. You know who was in the room that night? Jesus, the 12 disciples, and as God Almighty in the flesh, he knew the devil was there. He knew Satan was in Judas. So you could say, if you want, there were 13 people there. And he knew Judas was going to betray him. So watch this. Look at verse 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. He's going to give them an example of how to serve each other. But when he is the most, can you imagine knowing that Satan is right there in Judas, and as he kneels down and puts the towel on his lap and takes Judas's foot and takes the sandal off of his feet and puts it in the water, he knows he's washing Satan's feet. Satan is in him. He knows that. And he doesn't lash out at any of them. He loved them unto the end. What's it mean to possess ye your souls? In your patience, take and seize your soul. It means don't let the pressure of the world control you. Couldn't Jesus have said this? Okay, I'll wash everybody's feet, but not yours. You know you're a snake. You know you've already sold me out. Watch this. Could Jesus have also have said, you know, I got a lot going on. In less than about 12 hours, I'm going to be dying on a cross, suffering like no man has ever suffered before. Here, y'all wash your own feet and take care of this. He loved them unto the end. And he gave us an example of when the pressure is on. And when you're on, don't let the pressure that you're under dictate how you respond to other people. He loved them unto the end. He didn't. You don't find him lashing out at Judas one time, not correcting him. To me, that's amazing. He knows what's getting ready to happen. He loved them unto the end. What's it mean to possess, in your patience, possess ye your souls? Jesus gave us that example. Be careful as the world insanity increases. Don't let it dictate how you talk to your family. Don't let it dictate how, don't let it keep you from loving those that God's given us, right? Well, you don't know the pressure I'm under. You don't know the stress I'm under. Nobody was more stressed out than Jesus. And he didn't let it control him. What an example to me that is. I have no right to bite somebody's head off because I'm tired or exhausted or stressed. Well, get control of yourself. Amen. Then let's be more like Jesus and not controlled by outer circumstances. Love them unto the end. Jesus gave us that example. In your patience, possess your souls. Go back to Luke 21. Let's keep on going through this passage. In your patience, possess your souls. Jesus told us what to do with persecution. Look at verse 20. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Now Jerusalem would get sacked in 70 AD. Jesus is telling them about that. But you know, Jerusalem's been sacked about 6 times since then, and it's getting ready to get sacked again. Does it look like the nations are drawing against Jerusalem? Jesus said, when you see Jerusalem compassed about with armies, know this, it's getting close. It's getting close. The hatred for Israel and the hatred for the Jews is building. It's building in the world. What's that mean? That means Jesus is coming. That means I'm not for hating Israel, but as I watch them come against it, Jesus said, pay attention to what's going on. Watch Israel. Watch that nation. Watch how the nations around it treat them. Then look at, here we go, we are in the times of the Gentiles. Look at verse, I believe it's, let me see here, 20, look down at verse 24. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. So Jesus said, we're in the times of the Gentiles now. It started 600 years before this. Look down. Now, look what Jesus told us would be happening as we get closer to his return. Look at verse 25. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Look, the only way you can have distress of nations is if you've got internet. When I was growing up as a boy, all we cared about in the news was what was happening in America and what was happening in your state. Remember, it was local news from 6 to 6:30. If you don't remember this, that's fine. And then it was world news from 6:30 to 7. But what was happening in every country, you got a little highlight of it. But I remember during World News, I was like, And it wasn't because I was selfish. It's just you can only handle so much information. I don't need to know about every earthquake that's going on in the world. Amen? I can only handle so much information. I'd like to know what's going on in my community. I'd like to know what's going on in my state, my country. Beyond that, now everybody knows everything. This year, what was it? This week in Bulgaria, immigrants have overtaken the river here. Who cares? Now, you know, and you get all this information about these intricate details of other nations. Jesus said, on the earth there's going to be distress of nations with perplexity. And the word perplexity means, listen closely to the definition, inability to determine what to think or how to act. Jesus said perplexity is coming. Watch, what's perplexity? It's owing to the involved, intricate, or complicated condition of circumstances or of the matters to be dealt with. Perplexity involves this: anxiety, puzzled condition, bewilderment, and distraction. Do you feel like that's what's happening in the world? We got so much information, we're perplexed. Jesus said that's a sign of his coming, when information will increase and the perplexity, the distress of nations. And then he said, the sea and the waves roaring. The sea and the waves roaring. They're saying that the ocean currents are changing, and it's changing the weather of the earth right now. Have you heard that? They're saying what we're experiencing in weather. I like it when they quit talking about the foolishness of global warming. But they said the sun is at a low point right now, and crops are not doing well because the sun, you know, feeds the plants and helps them grow. They said they said that for the past 10 years, and we've got about 15 more years of it. All of this stuff happening, the sea and the waves roaring, the climate changing. What's that tell me? It tells me Jesus said, "Watch. I'm coming. I'm getting ready to come." Look at verse 26. Watch. Men's hearts failing them for fear. For looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. As I looked at verse 16, I thought, men's hearts failing them. What's that mean? Well, your heart is your desires, your heart. I used to think it meant heart attacks. And I don't think it means that. I think it means men losing their desire for life because of two things. They're looking after the things that are happening on this earth. What happens when you look after someone? When someone says, look after that kid or look after the dog, that means you watch it, right? It says men's hearts are going to fail for fear because they're trying to figure out what's happening and they can't. So the anxiety and the, what's going on? Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. So they're going to be living in fear. Okay, let's take that one thought. I've never seen a society more scared to breathe. Well, it's spiking in this state, and it's peaking, and there's over 4 million cases now. It only takes the common cold to test positive for COVID-19. You know that, right? There's so many false positives right now. I don't understand why they're not adjusting the numbers. Many of the tests are bogus. But they have to do that. The deaths are going way down. They said the deaths are flatlining. That's how come 10 states sent infected people, quote, to nursing homes to kill the old people. Why would you do that? Because they wanted the death rate up. 10 states. Why would you send people that have COVID-19 to a nursing home unless you're, they did that in New York, they did it in Virginia, they did it in Michigan, California, they did it in Pennsylvania. Why would you do that unless you were trying to kill old people? Because they wanted the deaths up to keep the fear up. What we're watching happen is a lot of manipulation. Men's hearts failing them for fear. What's going to happen? I'm thankful for our church. I know you hear me say, I like being with you. We're normal people. Amen. But I'm telling you, when we were visiting, I think it was Andrew and I, the first door we knocked on yesterday, neat old man, nice guy. He had to be probably in his 80s. First thing out of his mouth was, I said, hi, I'm Pastor Nash from Gospel Light Baptist Church and just wanted to give you an invitation. He said, where's your mask? I said, well, we're outside and the ultraviolet rays kill it just like it does the flu. I said, we're safe out here. And he goes, okay. He was listening, but first question out of his mouth wasn't, where are you from? Or what's your name? It was, where's your mask? Boy, aren't we living in a society, men's hearts failing them for fear. And then why will men's hearts fail? Because they're looking after the things, well, read the phrase, looking after those things which are coming on the earth. Why is all this happening? They can't explain it. You know why they can't explain it? Because the second coming of Jesus isn't in their thinking. We're supposed to be saving the earth. We're supposed to be cutting down on carbon prints and all of this. We're not going to save the earth. No, as a Bible believer, I know why this is happening. We're ramping up for Jesus to come. My heart doesn't fail for fear. And Jesus said, you know, I'll get into this, but the very fact that Jesus told us these days were coming, it proves the Bible true. Man, that causes my trust to go up. I don't like what's happening, but I am encouraged with my Bible. Amen? And that's the encouragement that's supposed to be coming as our Savior teaches us these things. He said in verse 27, then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. That tells me we're getting ready for Jesus to come. Right now there's fear, but there's no faith. There's no faith. And you know what? What is Jesus looking for when he returns? Remember, just stay here, but Luke 18 says this. He says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, listen, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? What's going to be the thing that is lacking the most when Jesus comes? Faith in his word. He's looking for faith. And he said, that's the thing that will be the men's hearts failing them for fear. They have fear but no faith. All right. Look at verse 27. Then shall they see the coming of the Son of Man coming in cloud with power and great glory. So Jesus told us to possess our souls in patience, possess our souls. And look at verse 28. He said, when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. I'll say it again. The bad things that are happening are supposed to encourage us to look up to heaven. You're not going to find the answers to what's going on in the world. They don't know. They're grabbing at straws. With the globalism and everything that's happening. I'm getting ready to preach a message on why I believe the rapture is going to happen very soon. And it has been, the more stuff I'm very excited about it, and I don't want to latch into it, but I'm just telling you, you say, well, they've always thought the rapture's going to happen. I'm telling you. My wife and I were talking about it 2 days ago, and I said, hun, that verse, so wait till I show it to you, but it's going to thrill your heart. Amen. I think we're living in the last days. I think we're living very close to the rapture. I will be shocked if I die a natural death. Okay? I believe we're going up in the rapture. Okay? I don't believe that Jesus is coming because bad things are happening. I believe that Jesus is coming because the type of things that are happening. We're supposed to be looking up. Jesus said, when these things begin to pass, look up. Lift up your head. Don't look down. Don't let the events get you down to where you're depressed. Okay? Then think about it this way. As I analyzed verse 28, I thought, since the rapture can take place at any moment, what do you want to be doing when Jesus calls us home? If you were looking up and thinking, wow, any moment, then are you ready? I'm not talking, I hope you're saved. I hope that's a, but if you're a saved child of God, do you have any goals that you'd like to do before you get to heaven? Have you read the Bible through? Have you ever led a soul to Christ? If you haven't, wouldn't you want to do that before the rapture? Because you know there's no soul winning in heaven, right? Then hurry up. Then go get you one. Amen. If you can't get a fat one, get a skinny one. If you can't get a tall one, get a short one. But if you haven't done that yet and you knew the rapture was getting ready to happen, then are you ready as a child of God to meet Jesus now? And if you're not, then why don't you get ready? Lift up your head. Look up. Man, the rapture could happen any moment. I think Jesus wants us thinking, am I ready for the rapture? If the rapture happened tonight, look, I understand people go, you know, well, I haven't done this in life. And look, I wanted to ride a bull and I wanted to jump out of a plane before I got married. After I got married and had kids, I don't want to do that anymore. Amen? You say, why? I want to watch my kids get older. Amen? But before then, before I got married, I used to dream of being in a rodeo. I just thought, man, clear. Wow. I mean, go for it, Bubba. Listen for the ding. That was a dream of mine. And after that, I remember we were at a rodeo and someone said, you want to ride one of those bulls? And, you know, I think my wife and I had been married for 12 years. I said, nah. I'm okay. All I'm saying, Christian, is Jesus said, look up. Think about the rapture. Are you ready? Jesus coming tonight shouldn't be an inconvenience to you. It's going to blow your mind. It's going to blow my mind. Is there anybody that you're thinking about that's lost that needs to get saved before the rapture happens? Because you do realize when the rapture takes place, they're left behind to go through hell on earth. And out of a sheer love out of your heart, you ought to want to witness to them. You don't want to be left behind. That's why Jesus said, lift up your heads. Look up. Don't look down. These are things Jesus is telling us to encourage us. And the world doesn't know this. Many of them scoff at the coming of Jesus. They want to talk about globalism and global warming, but they don't want to talk about the rapture. Look at verse 31. So likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. So make sure your mind is full of the thoughts about the Lord Jesus and the rapture. And who do you need to lead to the Lord? Now look down at verse 33. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. I have that verse marked as another verse of encouragement. During these times, Jesus said, yeah, everything may be changing, but my word's still the same. And I don't know what's changing tomorrow in America, but I know God's word's still going to be the same. Heaven and earth's going to pass away. It's all going to burn, but my word's not going to burn. Christian, that's an encouraging verse. Then build your life on the Bible. Amen. Hold to it. He's trying to encourage us. That should encourage you to read your Bible more. It should encourage you to memorize more scripture. It should encourage you to have a tangible Bible of your own instead of a digital device. I got the Bible on my phone, but there's no substitute for a Bible you can touch and turn the pages to. There is no substitute. And when the day comes when they want to take your Bible because it's politically incorrect and it has hate speech in it against homosexuals, when they want to take your Bible, if all you have is your iPhone and your iPad and your all that garbage, do you know how fast they can delete it? That's why, okay, keep your Bible on your devices, but man, get you a tangible Bible. There is no substitute. Now, don't jump on anybody that's a visitor. Next time you see them in church, you know, doing this stuff, have mercy. But, amen, we know we want a Bible that's real. Amen. I don't want a digital Bible. I want a Bible I can touch and a Bible I can carry. How about this? Jesus said, in your patience possess your souls. In, he said, lift up your head. Jesus said, focus your hope and mind on His coming, like we covered in verse 31. He said to trust more in His Word. And then, look at verse 34. He said, you're going to have to be careful about three things. During this time frame, He said, take heed to yourself. Take heed. Beware. How come? Lest at any time your hearts be overcharged. Stop. What's the word overcharged means? It means overloaded, an excessive supply, and a surplus. Be careful that you don't get so overloaded that you lose track of what's happening. And I would say it's easy to get overloaded right now. A lot of junk happening. A lot of things to worry about. Don't let your heart be overcharged. You can only, that's why I said, I can only handle so much information, and I can only handle the information overload. That's what the internet's helping everybody do. It's blowing their minds. They said people are reading more now, but they're retaining less. Because they're covering so much information. They're not thinking about what they're reading. They're going, okay, this article here. Then they move on to the next article. You know what used to happen? You got the paper in the morning. You read your articles that you wanted. And you went about your day. And you thought about it. You didn't read the news all day long. Have you noticed Fox News never shuts off? CNN never shuts off. They don't have news at 10. News at 6. News at 10 o'clock at night. It's news constant. Guess what's happening in Washington, D.C. and what was signed last week? And guess what's getting ready to be signed? Ah! You can only handle so much. And if you aren't careful, your heart is going to get overcharged or overburdened with what's going on. And Jesus said, be careful. That's why I like what it was Brother Berman. He said that yesterday. He said, I listen to about 10 minutes of news a week. He said, then I go out to my garden and I pull weeds because it's therapy. I said, that's good. So when in doubt, go in your garden and pick weeds. Amen. Now, read the verse. Look at verse 34. Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged or overburdened with three things. First of all, surfeiting. You know what surfeiting is? You can look it up. It's overeating. And boy, we's an eating nation. Amen? If you have a lot of reflux, it's from overeating. I know there's a disease that comes with that, but most people, heartburn is due to overeating or eating something you knew you shouldn't have eaten. Right? He said, you can get so wrapped up with what do we eat? We're not supposed to live to eat. We're supposed to eat to live. Right? It's not supposed to be the driving force of our life. Surfeiting, isn't that wild? That's the first thing he mentions. He said, don't let your heart be overburdened with surfeiting. How about this? Drunkenness. And have you ever seen a more drunk society and more Christians than ever are justifying drinking alcohol than ever? More pastors are saying they drink than ever I've ever heard in my life. And the Bible doesn't even matter anymore when it comes to the subject of alcohol. Jesus said, as we get close to His coming, He said, don't let your heart become overcharged with surfeiting, drunkenness, and what's the last thing? Cares of this life. When you study that term, cares of this life and cares of this world, that's the thorns and the cares, the deceitfulness of riches, materialism, pleasures of this life. It says in Jeremiah chapter 2, things that do not profit. If you aren't careful, you give your life to things that will not profit you in eternity. Don't give your life to things that don't profit. The cares of this life. Don't become so, when your domestic cares and responsibilities control so much of your time that you neglect your relationship with God, you are overcharged. Well, I just don't have time to read my Bible. I just don't have time to pray. I just don't have time to. Then you're too busy. Then back up and get control of your life. Well, you just don't know what I got going on. Then get control of your life. You're overcharged. And the serving God should have... Okay, if you serve God, it's because you make it a priority. But the devil's got plenty to keep you busy. If you don't want to make it a priority, yeah, the devil's got plenty for you to do of things which do not profit. And you can be overcharged with surfeiting, drunkenness, and the cares of this life. Jesus said, be very careful. Look at verse 35. For as a snare shall it come on them, all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. That's globalism. I wrote my Bible, globalism. It's only one way that could happen to the whole earth at once. Verse 36, and this is my text verse tonight, and I'm going to just spend a little bit of time on this, and then we'll close. Look at verse 36. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. That verse caught me as I was reading and studying. First of all, Jesus said, stay alert, watch what's going on. Match what's going on with your Bible, know, watch ye therefore. And then Jesus said, pray always. And I find in my Bible, what did Jesus tell us to pray about? Laborers, right? Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he'll send laborers into the harvest. We're supposed to be asking God, Lord, give us laborers. Because the harvest has always been plenteous, but the laborers few. There's always been there's always been more work to do than we can get done. Right? So Jesus said, on your prayer list is supposed to be every day, we're supposed to ask the Lord, Lord, please give us laborers. There's work to do. We have a lot of work to do. So I find that prayer request, and here our Savior is saying, when all this is happening, there's one thing that you should be praying about. I find this very interesting. But he didn't say just praying about. He said, as we get closer to Jesus coming, there's something you should always be praying about. Praying all the time. Well, what? Okay, let's read the verse. That you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass. What's that talking about? The distress of nations, the perplexity, the disease, the turmoil, the violence. Pray that you, Jesus said, pray always that you could be accounted worthy to escape these things. I don't think as we get closer to Jesus coming that everybody's going to suffer the same. I think there's a lot of suffering going on right now. I think there's a lot of horror, there's a lot of terror, there's a lot of fear in the world. I think there'll be some who miss out on a lot of it. Do you know why? Because Jesus said, you should be praying, Lord. Let me just hit the idea of... There's been no riots in our area. I'm very thankful for that. You say, well, it's because we're rural and not city. I understand that's probably a part of it. But I don't want to overlook the fact that God's kept the rioting from our area. We haven't had, I don't know of any statues in our area that have been torn down. And I don't want there to be. And as we pray, I love the prayer, Lord, thank you for helping our area. But what did Jesus say? You pray always that you'd be accounted worthy to escape those things. The distress, the perplexity, the fear. Well, what's that mean? These things. That means Jesus said, I'm supposed to be praying, Lord, help me to be a part of the solution, not the problem. I'd hate to be one of the reasons that God is going to judge America. I don't want to be one wrapped up in alcohol. I don't want to be one that's out of church. I don't want to be one that's not serving God. Pray that you be accounted worthy. I'm supposed to be praying, Lord, help me not fail you in these times when everybody else is. Help us to be a church that doesn't change when all other churches are changing. Lord, help us praying always. Lord, I want to be worthy to escape what everybody else is suffering because we're doing right. Jesus said, pray always for that. As I thought about this, I thought, wow, how about this? At the Last Supper, what did all the disciples pray except one? Lord, is it I? And I find every great Christian always says, am I going to be the next one to turn my back on Jesus? And normally the ones that are concerned about it and are running from it are the ones who don't do it. The ones who are in oblivion like Judas. What was he doing at the table that night? Oh, this bread's good. Oh, man. Hey, pass that over here. He was the only one that didn't ask, Lord, is it I? All the other disciples were, Lord, you said we're going to betray you. Am I going to turn my back on you? And none of them did, except one, the one who wasn't asking the question. Jesus said, pray always that you be accounted worthy to escape all this that's happening in the world, the chaos. Wow. What type of, then let me give you a, go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and let me give you some things to pray. Pray always. What a verse. That you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. Watch this. I'm going to read this and I'm just going to... It's a unique prayer list. Amen. Watch this. This know also that in the last days perilous or physically dangerous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Lord, help me not to be so selfish and a lover of myself. Covetous. Lord, help me not want things I can't afford. Help me not to be so materialistic and money-minded that all I think about is what I can get out of other people. That's a covetous person. Look what else. Boasters. That's self-centeredness. Lord, help me not to do that. Help me not to care what other people think about me. Lord, just help me just serve other people. Do you see what I'm doing? I'm saying, Jesus said, pray always that you would be accounted worthy, that you're not living like they are. They're boasting. They're loving themselves more than they're covetous. He said, you pray, Lord, help me not to live that way. Let's keep on reading. It says here, proud. Lord, help me to be humble. Blasphemers. Dear God, help me, Lord, to respect your word and to not discredit your work. Disobedient to parents. Lord, help me to honor my father and mother. Unthankful. Lord, help me not to be an ingrate. Somebody doesn't say thank you. Unholy. Dear God, help me walk with you. Dear, do you see what I'm doing? That's, Jesus said, as we get closer to Jesus coming, that's how they live. You pray always that you don't be like them. That you're accounted worthy to escape the things that they're suffering. As we've gone through and as we pray as a church about what's going on in our community and world, I couldn't help, but as these verses, this is just the way Pastor put it together, I thought, wow, I don't want to see violence in our area. I don't want that. I talked to two policemen this week. I have a police neighbor. Man, I saw him and I said, ran out to him. I said, hey man, I love you and I'm praying for you. I'm for you. I tell every police officer, I say, I'm not for defunding none of y'all. If you need a $100,000 raise, just ask me and I'll be the first one to vote for it. They always smile. And I don't want to be associated with that junk. I don't want to be associated with any of that. Pray that you be accounted worthy to escape all those things. Dear Lord, please help me not to live like an animal. Help me to be a faithful Christian. Let's just read a few more of these traits here. Watch this. It says here, verse 3, without natural affection, truce breakers. Lord, help me to keep my word. False accusers, liars, incontinent. That means without self-control. Lord, help me to say no to myself. Lord, help me to lead myself. Fierce, despisers of those that are good. You know, when it comes to fierce, I've never seen driving like I'm seeing now. On my road, it's a double yellow line from the time you get on the pavement to the time you get to 235. Just yesterday, on my way to the church, in the morning, double yellow line, a guy passed me right as soon as I pulled out, and I didn't cut him off. He was way back, drove a little bit, and he came up, double yellow line. I was like, are you nuts? I mean, there's a big curve coming up, you know, that big curve that's by my house. I was like, why would you pass somebody right before a curve like that? People drive, they say you drive like your personality. If you're rude when you drive, then you're a rude person. You can tell a lot about somebody by how they drive. And if they're a nasty driver, they're normally a nasty person to deal with. They don't care what, you know what I mean? Fierce. Despisers of those that are good. Look over at, now that's look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. Watch this, and we'll close with this. I charge thee, look at verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Watch, verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. We're watching people leave churches because they don't like... I've asked people, did I preach something that wasn't in the Bible? Two people that have left our churches said, nah, it's just too much Bible. I can't change that. I didn't write the book. Do you realize they're fulfilling prophecy? Jesus said, through Paul didn't see this time that we're seeing. We're seeing it, though. The time's going to come, and we're in it now, where they will not endure sound doctrine. I don't have to preach. I don't preach anything that's fringe, I don't think. I know I can be a little strong in some things, but I read the Bible, and I try to tell you what I believe the Lord lays on my heart. But when there's people that leave church, it's just too much Bible. I thought if I preached the Bible, it should comfort you, right? It should be like, amen, pastor doesn't tell us what he thinks, he tells us what the Bible says, right? Isn't that comforting? But Jesus said the time's coming when they will not endure sound doctrine. What's that tell me? Jesus said, pray always that you will be accounted worthy to escape these things. And that's another prayer request. Lord, help me not get sick of Bible preaching. Do you understand that's the tendency of our day? Do you realize everybody feels that pull? That's a pull that everybody's feeling that they've not felt in the age of the church. Now they're getting, I don't really want, I'm going to go to a church, cappuccino, can I wear my jammies, you know, can I wear some flip-flops, and, you know, do y'all got lazy boys in the, it's amazing what people are selling as church nowadays. The time will come, watch this, read just a little bit more. It says here, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Dear Lord, help me not to be part of that crowd. I'm not better than them. I'm just as prone as they are. I'm just as prone to change for money. I'm just as prone to change and sell out for... Dear God, help me not to live like that. Everybody see the prayer request? I'll close with this tonight. Jesus gave us some things in Luke 21 that's supposed to encourage us. Possess ye your souls. In your patience, possess your souls. Keep a hold of yourself. Don't let the times determine what you are. Keep trusting my word. Lift up your head. Keep thinking about Jesus coming. We're getting closer. And pray always that you'll be accounted worthy to escape the chaos and the perplexity and the distress. That's interesting. It's really gotten me thinking this week, and I when I read the verse, I thought, do I do that? I don't know that I've ever done that since I've been saved. I read the verse, and I've never really pondered it and tried to think my way into it. But I don't think I've prayed that till this week. And I said, that helps me. I think it'll keep me from changing. Amen. I think it'll keep you from changing. Lord, help me not live like that. Help me not to turn on you. I don't want to change with the times. I want to just stay close to your word. I hope it's an encouragement to you tonight. Let's pray. Father, again, Lord, the little truths that we can pull from your word and anchor our souls.